Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the Stream of Playful Consciousness. I'm your host, Landon. And today, my topic is romance and superhero comics. I have to admit, this topic just came to me last night while I was at work. I wound up thinking of a really interesting scene from The Dark Knight. Well, a really interesting line from The Dark Knight. Rachel Dawes. Only interesting line from The Dark Knight. God, that character was awful. But, yes. There was a scene where Bruce was talking about plans for his future with Rachel, and she just says one thing to him. Bruce, don't make me your only chance at a normal life. And I actually do think that was rather profound, because the whole idea of love in superhero comics is that these people are larger than life. They're amazing. They're uniquely special. And they need someone that's uniquely special to love. To share their life with, fire them. Because they inspire everyone else. And they can't be inspired the same way that they do inspire everyone else. They each need inspired their own way. And I've noticed a few trends along these lines. I'm going to try to do episodes on each of them that I've noticed. Today I'm going to go with the most simple. The solo male hero with a civilian soulmate, I guess is the best way to put it. And what I mean by that is a character that is the romantic interest is an important character in their own right, and actually they're so important that we almost can't imagine the hero without this romantic interest. Lois Lane for Superman, Clark Kent. Mary Jane Watson for Spider-Man. Yeah, I grew up in the 90s, deal with it. And along those lines, Linda Park for the Wally West, The Flash. And also Iris West for Barry Allen, The Flash. These were all characters that had really strong, long-lasting relationships that had major impact on the character. And each of these couples actually wound up married in the comics. And sometimes in other media. But the interesting thing about it is that there seems to be this universal policy at both Marvel and DC right now that heroes shouldn't be married, and I really think that does a disservice to a key part of the human experience and a key part of the character of all of them. I've been really sad that Wally West isn't the main Flash anymore, and most of the time DC doesn't even seem to know what to do with him. The problem with this is that the status quo of Wally as the Flash, Wally was the Flash for as long as Barry was the first time around. So the character has just as much of a claim to being the Flash as Barry does. And there was a lot of interesting growth with the character, and most of it had to do with his main love, well, really his only love interest, Linda Park. She was a reporter, much like Lois Lane and Iris West. But the interesting thing with her is how she came into Wally's life and how she affected him. When Wally took over as the Flash after Crisis on Infinite Earths, he was a sidekick. He was the Kid Flash. And he'd actually been depowered for a while. During Crisis on Infinite Earths, Barry Allen died. And this was one of the better done, the better written, better executed deaths in comics. And there was this joke going around that death is never permanent in comics, except there wound up being three exceptions to this rule, and Barry Allen was one of them, and shortly after this saying came into vogue, all three of the characters came back. And it was really frustrating because as great as Barry was, his story had a beginning, a middle, and an end, and he was also driven by his love for Iris. And the whole interesting thing with that is that he was made more of a real person by the fact that he had this love of a normal woman. But the key thing is, in Crisis on Infinite Earths, he died. And then the completely inexperienced at this capacity, Wally West, was thrust into the role of being the new Flash. And all of Barry's Justice League friends remembered Wally as the Kid Flash, who had been so irresponsible that he'd accidentally lost his costume in front of thousands of citizens, effectively rendering his secret identity null and void. He wasn't treated as mature or respected. And he was not respected by any of these people that he looked up to. And after a while, he just decided, if they're going to be looking down on me anyway, I'm going to live down to their expectations. And he just acted like a totally obnoxious jerk. He did everything he could to just be a total disgrace to the name, because in his mind, like, they'd really give me a chance if I actually did live up to Barry's legacy. Hell, how could he live up to Barry's legacy? Barry was amazing, and Barry sacrificed his life to save the multiverse. Earth. But fairly early on, he encountered Linda Park West. Well, later Linda Park West, but the reporter Linda Park. And they developed a relationship. And initially, Linda was the one person who really saw what Wally could be instead of what he was. Which is why when they did the story, The Return of Barry Allen, where the Reverse Flash showed up and pretended to be Barry and effectively pushed Wally back into his sidekick role, he was initially happy about this. He was happy to have his uncle and hero back. He was happy to have all the pressure off of him. But the new old Flash was ruthless. He was threatening. He was terrifying. And for the first time, Wally had to really step up. He had to be the Flash for the first time. And a lot of what made that possible was his love for Linda and Linda's love and admiration for him. And to this day, one of the greatest love stories I've ever read was the Mark Waid Flash story, Terminal Velocity, which introduced the concept of the Speed Force, and it was also the first time I heard Mark Waid say the phrase, "I really wish we would have come up with a better name for it." You see, he uses that phrase a lot. And who can blame him with when you name major story elements things like the Crime Bible or the Speed Force? But the whole idea was Wally finally had the respect of his peers and his elders. But he'd narrowly avoided death in another crisis-level event. And in the process, he'd pushed himself farther than he'd ever been able to push himself before, powers further. And he began to touch something that was so immensely powerful it scared him. And he knew that if he gave into it, it would be the end of him. There was even this tagline in the series that no one has ever come back from the Speed Force, which it was implied that Barry wound up when he ran himself to death. But over the course of the story, Wally enters the Speed Force. Everyone thinks he's going to be gone forever. He even shows two possible proteges. But ultimately, he came back from the Speed Force. He saved the world, and he talked about how amazing and wonderful and perfect it felt in there, and how he'd learned so much that it was going to take him years to process everything he'd learned and apply all of it. And true to form, his powers were immensely improved after this story. And Linda asked him if it was so amazing, if it was the main thing everyone like you is working toward, if you would have been with Barry, why didn't you stay there? Why did you come back? And Wally only had three words for her. You weren't there. And beyond just characters from my generation, the very first superhero is, at his core, tied to his love story, which I honestly think that's about the biggest mistake anyone ever makes when people write Superman, and they try to not have him with Lois. The whole idea of a character as powerful as Kal-El, Superman, Clark Kent, he could honestly become so powerful that he could just leave Earth, never come back, never care about what happens here, and just occupy himself with things that are so big and so amazing that we couldn't even fathom them. But in the process, he would lose his humanity. And his humanity is what made him special. The fact that he was raised by two loving Kansas parents who raised him to be a kind, caring, compassionate young man, who always chased his dreams, but always did so carefully and sensibly, and didn't often have a chance to truly be himself, because as most people acknowledge, Superman isn't really Clark Kent, and Clark Kent isn't really Clark Kent. They're both aspects of who he is, and very few people see the real Kal-El. And his parents were important, but they can't be his only tie, because ultimately, once you grow past being tied to your parents in a large way. You become your own person. You have to have your own reasons for doing things, for being connected to things, to stay instead of go. And that's where a character like Lois Lane comes in. She is a very human character. She's very intense and smart-mouthed and tough. A lot of the time she's stereotyped as just being completely reckless because she knows Superman will come to save her, but the way I've always seen her written well is she is just a really intense, motivated, driven reporter who's a former Army brat who is not afraid to do whatever it takes to get the story. She's brave. She's bold. She's willing to put herself in a lot of situations that Superman is without being bulletproof. And she is very uniquely human. Even going back to her earliest appearances, she was a motivated, driven career woman back when that was a fairly novel concept. Super cupcakes stories aside. But for me, the story of Kal-El is the story of his love for Lois Lane. The fact that he loves her and she represents everything wonderful about humanity to him is why, instead of being this nearly omnipotent but detached alien, like, say, a Dr. Manhattan, Lois keeps Clark uniquely human. He has the powers of a god, but doesn't see the people around him as ants. He cares about the people around him. He cares about their safety. He cares about seeing them progress. It would be really tempting for a person like him to just look down on everyone, but Lois shows him everything that humanity can be at its best. And that keeps him tied to our world, tied to his life, tied to his identity as a human, even when he isn't. And I think people who say that he should be with Wonder Woman or some other character such as that, they really miss a big part of the core of what makes Superman special. That he's this uniquely human god in the warmest, kindest way possible. But then there's also Spider-Man. Peter was a character who was always defined by his shyness and how awkward he was with girls and how unlucky he was and just how socially inept he was. And he was paired up with the most ridiculously quick-witted, smart-mouth extrovert you ever saw. A talented actress and model. Well, not when he met her, but soon after. And these two strangely mismatched people started off as friends. But eventually, they saw things in each other that no one else saw. And not just the secret identity. Mary Jane saw how strong and caring Peter could be, even though he almost never gets credit for it, because he is so strong and caring, and the fact that he is so strong and caring and how he applies that makes him appear uncaring to everyone else. She sees how thin Peter stretches himself to try to do everything, and how much he's given up to do it, and how sometimes he doesn't even think it's worth it. But then others, it's almost his whole reason for being. And everyone seems to see just this shallow party girl when they see Mary Jane. But Peter sees a strong, intelligent woman who has a lot to offer, who can see to the core of him, and who has much more to her than the good looks and the snappy attitude. Kirsten Dunst's performance, I won't even say her performance, it's the writing, the way she was written in the Spider-Man movies notwithstanding. Their love was really special. And one thing I loved was, out of all these characters, they were... Well, no, I take that back. Both of the Flashes had kids. I mean, both of the Flashes had twins. Figure that out. But they really explored the whole deep family dynamic with Spider-Man and how that could change him. How he could be a loving husband, how he could really give himself to being Spider-Man because he was strong enough to trust in the talent and skill of his wife, and how it means they still struggle, but he ultimately has to keep himself safe so that he can come back home to her every night, and so that he can keep her safe as well for the rest of New York. But it was also amazing seeing the Tom DeFalco series Spider-Girl, which took a few story threads that happened in the late 90s that the in-canon versions are rather notorious. People are not happy with the whole Spider-Clone saga. But he found a way to redeem this seemingly unredeemable story and create a world where Spider-Man could be a family man. He could be a loving father. He could finally apply himself fully to something without having to split himself in two. And where he'd create a world where he could give his beautiful young daughter the support she'd need to be a hero in her own right. And it really plays into the whole idea of children. The love that he found with Mary Jane allowed him the possibility to create a world where a more perfect version of himself and his wife could have a chance to have her own adventures. And that's just a really wonderful thought. But also, I feel bad that I've shortchanged Barry Allen. I think it's sour grapes, probably. Because I thought his death was just so beautifully written that I'm sad that it's been reversed. The whole thought that his entire world had fallen apart when the Reverse Flash killed Iris, only for him to find out that, and then him finally breaking his own no-killing rule to kill the Reverse Flash, and I guess revenge, but then him ultimately having to come to terms with the fact that Iris really was still alive, and the fact that he got a chance to go to the future to live out the rest of his days with her. And just really live this beautiful dream with her. Only for it to be taken away from him because he had to be a hero one last time. And just how Iris had been with him every step of the way, and then just the heartbreak of seeing Wally find the empty suit, which he knew he would now have to fill. And Iris, so positive, she was finally going to get her happy ending with Barry, only to have it ripped away from her right after she finally thought she had it. And that's really, I guess, what I'm getting at. These women who, they're just humans. They inspire the men who inspire everyone else. They make these heroes more than they could have been by themselves. They find the strength in them and help them grow it. They allow their men to find inner strength, emotional strength, physical strength, and determination that they never would have thought possible without them. They tie them to reality, but not in a way that ties them down, in a way that reminds them what really matters to them. That's all for this installment. Until next time, eat my sexy beans.